This is an ABC podcast.
Please note that the following interview with Alexander Downer was recorded before the recent Four Corners episode and the resurfacing of allegations relating to East Timor.
Well, this weekend marks the 20th anniversary of the East Timor vote for independence. For the next fortnight, this would have been early to mid-September 99, the world would see the pro-Jakarta militia inflict brutality and suffering on the breakaway de facto Indonesian province. Death toll estimates ranged into the thousands, and tens of thousands of Timorese fled their homes to escape murderous militias and the Indonesian soldiers who became their partners in crime. They played witness to daily violence like this, which took place in September 99.
First, though, to Dili, and this morning the UN mission in East Timor is in crisis. Pro-Jakarta militia have now struck at the heart of the UN's presence in the troubled territory. Last night, people were cut down in the streets just metres from the UN's headquarters in East Timor. At least two people were killed in the brutal street battle between gun-toting militia and pro-independence locals, as hundreds of eyewitnesses watched Indonesian police cower before the militia's advance.
These were heady days for Australian diplomacy led by the Howard government as troops were sent to East Timor.
Our soldiers go to East Timor as part of a great Australian military tradition, which has never sought to impose the will of this country on others, but only to defend what is right. They go with our goodwill and total support. We wish them Godspeed and a safe return home.
Now, East Timor amounted to our most important military involvement since the Vietnam War, and it was a great achievement. Here's the Wall Street Journal editorial. It took guts and a generous commitment of money and prestige for Australia to lead other Asian democracies in helping to protect helpless people elsewhere in the region. That was the Wall Street Journal. Now, remember, our foreign policy team included the Prime Minister, John Howard, Defence Minister, John Moore, DFAT head Ashton Calvert, of course General Peter Cosgrove, and Foreign Minister Alexander Downer, who joins us from London. Now these days, Alexander Downer is Executive Chairman of the International School of Government at the King's College in London, and he's Chairman of Policy Exchange, a prominent British think tank. G'day Alexander, welcome back to ABC Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, in 1975, Indonesia annexed East Timor. It was occupied until the end of Suharto's downfall in 1998. And then, of course, the referendum was 20 years ago this weekend. When did you recognise that an independent East Timor was likely?
Well, it's a good question. So when we came to government in 1996, we knew as the previous government, the Keating government, and then the Hawke government before that had found that the issue of East Timor was always going to hijack our relationship with Indonesia. We were never really going to be able to build the right kind of relationship with Indonesia we needed to. And the people of East Timor, our next door neighbour of Australia, were suffering through constant conflict and violence. So we engaged the Indonesian government, being President Suharto, when I first went to see him, Ali Alatas, the then foreign minister, constantly on the issue of East Timor, urging them to do something to break the mould and change the situation there. So they came up with this policy called wide-ranging autonomy. And they said, well, if we give East Timor wide-ranging autonomy, perhaps that will calm the violence. So that was their plan. So in 1998, I told Ali Alatas that we would do a survey of East Timorese opinion in East Timor, but also in the diaspora in Australia, in Portugal, and so on. And we asked people what they thought of wide-ranging autonomy and would that be sufficient for them. And basically the answer we got back from them was only for a short period of time, but eventually we want a choice as to whether we become independent or not. So this led to us, not only did I tell Ali Alatas of the results of the survey, but it led to the famous Howard letter to Habibie, which I drafted with Ashton Calvert. And we had a National Security Committee of Cabinet to consider this letter. And we agreed that John Howard should sign it and sent the letter to Habibie at the end of the year. I don't remember exactly when, but it was around early December, a bit before Christmas. And Habibie on receiving this letter, and we had a good relationship with Habibi, on receiving this letter was, I think, pretty annoyed, to say the least. He himself summoned his own cabinet to consider the letter and decided, no, we're not going to provide wide-ranging autonomy for, say, 10 years and then hold a referendum at the end of that. We'll go ahead and have the referendum right away. So we were, of course, happy with that. And that is what happened. I mean, there's a lot more to it than all of that, but that's pretty much what happened, and this was the pathway that led to East Timor's independence.
And that period, in early December 1998, and I remember there was a whole class of so-called experts, the Paul Keatings, the Greg Sheridans, the Dick Wilcotts, they were saying this was an appalling humiliation of Jakarta, but you still convinced Indonesia to allow the East Timor referendum result to succeed from Indonesia August 30 the next year.
Yeah, so there were a lot of people who basically argued that we should stick with the policy that we'd had for quite some years mm-hmm. under Labour and Liberal governments. But I took the view that it was never really going to work. It wasn't sustainable in the long term because it was clear the people of East Timor didn't want wide-ranging autonomy. They wanted independence. And, you know, you can make all the economic arguments you like, by the way, to people about the advantage of not being independent. But they don't care about the economic cost. They just want to be independent. They just wanted their own country. You know, they were very nationalistic, to use the terminology of the modern day. So I thought, honestly, if you want to solve the East Timor problem and you want a long-term stable relationship with Indonesia, you have to break the mold here. And that is going to cause some short-term diplomatic pain for long-term gain, which I have to say has proved to be completely right.
And let's go to the independence vote, August 30, 1999. The next fortnight, we had pro-Jakarta militias. They were rampaging out of control in East Timor. Calls were growing for the federal government to do something to stop the brutality. I'll never forget Kim Beazley in Parliament. He was the opposition leader saying, do something, Prime Minister. But at the same time, it was very clear the Indonesian military opposed the involvement of any Australian peacekeepers. So you must have had grave doubts about committing Australian troops in those circumstances.
Well, we weren't going to go to war with Indonesia, which was what Kim Beazley was arguing. Mm. I do know that our usual friends out there on the left were screaming at us to invade Indonesian territory. I mean, honestly, I've never understood the emotions that drive people on the left. They don't seem to be very rational very often. We were, of course, happy for our military to intervene, and we had made preparations in Darwin for a military intervention, should it be possible to make that military intervention. So we had troops and so on assembled in Townsville and in Darwin to send there. But of course, first of all, we had to get the Indonesians to agree, and we had to get a UN Security Council resolution authorising the intervention. This didn't take us very long, by the way, because as it happened, there was an APEC meeting in Auckland through all of this period, and we used that APEC meeting, which President Clinton attended, to not only persuade the Indonesians that they really had to allow in a peacekeeping force, but to start building that peacekeeping force, the coalition of countries, because we were going to do it on our own if we could help it, to build a coalition of countries, and particularly to get together some other Southeast Asian countries, ASEAN countries, and get some support from the Americans and get that Security Council resolution through the UN Security Council.
This is Tom Switzer on RN, and I'm chatting with the former Foreign Minister, Alexander Downer. We're marking the 20th anniversary of Australia's liberation of East Timor from Indonesia. You mentioned Clinton, Alexander. East Timor, it has to be said, certainly in August of 99, was not on his radar. He was more focused on Kosovo at the time.
So we not only wanted a Security Council resolution and the Americans to help with that, that was less of a problem. We wanted the Americans to provide some particularly logistical support to the peacekeeping force and ideally to put boots on the ground. And the Clinton administration was totally opposed to this. And we had quite a successful, is the best way to put it, phone hookup with him, where he, I think quite reluctantly, said, well, look, I think we probably can do something to help you. We'll see what we can do and we'll look into it.
Sorry, just to backtrack a bit, you went public on CNN to criticise the Americans. Yeah. And on September 7, you took a call from Madeleine Albright and she called you to express her anger. Tell us about that exchange first.
Exactly, because the Americans, as we've been discussing, said that they wouldn't do anything to help. And, you know, this aroused the emotions of John Howard and me because, you know, we're into Australian history and we know all the things Australia has done working with the Americans and sometimes to help the Americans. So we were pretty angry about that. So I went on CNN and expressed my disappointment that the Americans weren't prepared to help us. And Madeleine Albright, you know, like 10 minutes later, rang me and said, I was lying in my bed watching you on TV criticising our administration and want to say how disappointed I am that you would have taken that approach. And I said to her, well, you may be, but I am profoundly disappointed that you're not prepared to help us. And her answer to that was, look, I'm doing my best as the Secretary of State, but I have to persuade the President, and he's been reluctant up until now. So just leave it with me and promise you won't make any more critical public comments. I said, well, you know, I'll give you a break. And I think the other thing that people in Australia would never really think about is that Indonesia was colonised by the Dutch and fought a war of independence. And this whole notion of Western powers colonising them, controlling them, having their armies spread around their countries, it means a huge amount in a country like that. So the idea of us sending in troops into Indonesia was hugely resisted by elements of the Indonesian military. So we did worry, even though the peacekeeping force had been agreed to by President Habibie, agreed to by General Wiranto, who was the head of TNI at the time of the Indonesian military, and agreed to by the UN Security Council, we thought there could be at least elements of the Indonesian military which would militarily resist the peacekeeping force.
And so by the end of September 99, the Indonesian army hands over authority for East Timor to a multinational force, obviously led by Australia. But by early October 99, you still had your critics. Paul Keating was one of them. He accused both you and John Howard of political opportunism, attempting to score domestic political points with foreign policy, needlessly lobbying Habibie to grant East Timor independence. And he said, this was in early October 99, Keating said, this was Australia's biggest foreign policy disaster since the Vietnam War.
I mean, their basic argument was we should have left the East Timor issue as it was, and focused on the relationship with Indonesia. That was, as Keating would have put it, the main game. But the trouble is you couldn't play the main game well enough when you had the East Timor issue just burning away and people being killed in East Timor and that particular province of Indonesia. It just didn't fit into the Republic of Indonesia and it never was going to. And what is more, it didn't take us 10 years to rehabilitate our relationship with Indonesia. But I think history has borne out that our judgment was not wrong, but right.
Alexander Downer, great to have you on Between the Lines today.
It's a great pleasure, Tom.
Alexander Downer was Australia's foreign minister from early 1996 to late 2007.